Glory, glory, glory to the Lord. All glory, glory, glory to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Hosanna. Hosanna. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Hosanna.
Father, we give you praise. Thank you for yet another opportunity to gather to praise your name and to give you all adoration. And that's all we've come to do this morning, to thank you for who you are and who you will ever be to us. We give you all the praise. Thank you because we not live here the same. Thank you because indeed there will be an entrance of your word. There will be light to your people in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise God. Amen. So I bring you greetings from the set man. And I send his apologies. He was not able to come on Thursday. He sends his apologies. And he says he will be here next week by the grace of God. Hallelujah. John chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 1 and I'll stop at verse 11. It says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Hallelujah. Verse 5, his mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there six water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some water now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants had drawn the water, who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine up to now. This beginning of signs did Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glories, and his disciples believed in him. Hallelujah. Amen. For the sake of title, I have said, whatever he says to you, do it. Amen. Whatever he says to you, do it. So it's very, very straightforward. Whatever he says to you, do it. And you look at it that when they got to that wedding, his mother was with him. And it wasn't the boy Jesus anymore. He had disciples this time. And his mother understood or has an understanding of who this boy Jesus, now grown up, is. Hallelujah. And most likely, she probably will be the only one that truly, truly can relate with the kind of person that Jesus is or was or will be. The three of them, the one he is, the one he was when he was growing up, and he will be. Hallelujah. Amen. In Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to read from, Luke chapter 1, I'll read from verse 26. Because the beginning of the life of Christ actually was where his mother was informed. And it says, now in the sixth hour, the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin presented to a man whose name was Joseph. Okay, so the angel came, and the angel was directed through a virgin that was betrothed to a man named Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Amen. Of his kingdom, there will be no end. Hallelujah. Remember that in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, I think, from verse 6, he talked about, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. Isaiah chapter 9, I read from verse 6. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with justice and judgment. For that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Hallelujah. That's what Isaiah spoke about the boy Jesus. Amen. And the angel is saying to the one who will carry the boy Jesus, and he says that he says in verse 32, he will be great, He will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father, and will reign over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Hallelujah. Okay. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm just giving you foundational, tips of Mary relating with the child she will give birth to. Okay? And as the child was growing up, she lost focus. But then, if you look at Luke chapter 2, let's go to Luke chapter 2. Once she lost focus of it, and then in Luke chapter 2 from verse 39, that's going to be a very long read, but please pay attention. Because she had the audacity to tell the servants, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, Luke chapter 2 and 39. So he says, "So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Hallelujah. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as returned, the boy lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Let's pause. So, at the age of 12, the Bible says it was customary for them to go to Jerusalem every year. And then, as we were going in the company, they thought he was there in the midst of everybody. You know, just as you assume that, okay. But that won't happen in this day and time anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. Because everybody will count. You count and say, okay, where is this one? Where is that one? You will not bother to say it's with one relative or anything. You will find out where he is. But what is important is that he said he was found after 3 days in the temple, sitting in the midst of teachers, both listening to them and then asking them questions. Hallelujah. That was the boy Jesus. Okay? That was the Son of God. Hallelujah. He was being prepared for the ministry work. Okay? So even as he was learning from the teachers in the synagogue, he was asking them questions. And then the Bible says, all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Amen. So he says he was both listening to them and asking them questions. You know that in family meeting, what we are supposed to be doing is to be asking questions. Okay? Or you don't know? Do you know? You don't know? Okay, so family meeting, we are supposed to come and ask questions of everything we've learned in the previous month, and ask the questions. We should supposed to send the questions ahead of time so that we can look at these things. And I just picked it out now for you that's what the boy Jesus was doing. He was asking them questions. And then he was listening to them as well. But the Bible says that all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. I thought he was the one asking them questions. And I thought he was listening to them. Amen. So it would have been that in listening to them, he was generating questions for them to be sure that they understood, even them understood what they were saying to the people. Hallelujah. Amen. He says they were all astonished because of his age. But age is not a limit to how much of God you can absorb. I think when I was in the tertiary institution, there was one guy, 4 years. 4 years then, I can't remember his name, but he went around the country and he was always ministering. He would do crusades and all that. There was also another one that was very, was around 5, 6, was drumming, was a drummer. But that particular one would come, would hold the mic as I'm holding it, and he would deliver the word of God. Hallelujah. The things of the Spirit are not limited to age. Hallelujah. And they're not determined by how old you are. Amen. So much the same way that when you enter into an organization, it's not by age that they put people in position. It's by knowledge and by understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. And so he said that they were astonished at his understanding and answer. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother says to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." Okay. And he said, Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. Hallelujah. Amen. So the first encounter was 12 years before, or 13 years before that time, because it takes 9 months to carry a child. So 12 years, 9 months before that time, the mother was told, "This is what this boy is going to be." Hallelujah. And over time, we got used to the fact that he's a boy, and then they lost track. I said, and it was like, "Why? You should know that I will be about my father's business." Okay? Hallelujah. Then the Bible says she kept this in her heart. So from that moment onwards, she was very conscious of the fact that this is not an ordinary child. Hallelujah. This is what the angel of the Lord has spoken, and this is what she's seen. And so little wonder that when they were in Canaan of Galilee, in John chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.'" Hallelujah. Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." The first time he told her, "Is it that you are forgetting who I am supposed to be?" Hallelujah. And now he's saying that you are trying to esteem me. Amen. But that was the only person at that point that could relate with how to solve the problem in that environment and could understand that the solution was in their midst. Amen. Hallelujah. And I think that's why mothers are very clingy to their sons. Abi? Because I raised him as a baby, and then one woman comes, I take him away, and I need to follow. Like a sheep, before his shearer. We are just like Christ too. Amen. And that's why there's always struggle between the two of them, the woman and the mother. One says, "Now is my own." The other says, from scratch. Hallelujah. You know that. But you know, to the ones that are wise, they will cling to the women. Those wives will go to the mother and find out, "How can I solve this problem that I'm facing?" Hallelujah. We are a handful. Me, I know I'm a handful. I know, very obvious that I'm a handful. From day one, and my results are at home, right there. Muiwa is very troublesome. And that trouble, I'm not stopping troublesome. Hallelujah. I'm not stopping troublesome. Sometimes when Setman is talking, I say, "Setman, you know that of all your children, I'm the most troublesome." Hallelujah. But you see, instead of you struggling, go to the person that has the answers. Honestly. But you know, now, at this level, my mom would rather leave this me to her, because she has lost those years has been lost. Hallelujah. Because the things that you would think that we were supposed to be able to do now is not. This is the person that will say, this is what he can do now. Amen. But at this point, it was Jesus' mother that could tell what he could do. Number one, she was the one that had the revelation. Number two, she saw a manifestation of that revelation and kept it to heart. When God gives you a revelation, it is important you keep it. You keep it. I was listening to one man yesterday. He says that you should not go to bed without a biro and a paper by your bedside. The only time I did that was when I was writing WAEC. I went to bed with Ababio. You know Ababio? You know Ababio? I'm shocked. You know Nelcon? And Modern Biology. You know Modern Biology? And then 101. You know 101? It's a lie. This one is just saying, God bless you. 101 Ikeobi. I.O. Ikeobi. We used to call it 101. Very bulky textbooks. All those ones I've called. Very bulky. And I didn't have a choice. Okay? And I've told you that in my family, I'm number two. My sister is number one. So my sister had gone and she had done WAEC. And she had scattered WAEC. She scored all the A's and A's she could get. So it was my turn. So I didn't have a choice. There was nothing like, you are playful. No. I had to read. So after I finished the chores for the day, so when we come back from school, we used to come back from school in those days at 1 p.m., 2 p.m., hallelujah. In school these days is 4 p.m., and yet they don't know it as much as we know it. Amen. It's just like, in the banking system, when they were using ledgers, they were closing at 6 p.m. Now they are using computers. They are closing at 10 p.m. I don't understand. The same way the schools, we used to close at 2 p.m., we get home, we do our lesson, we go to bed. These days, they will close at 4. They will still come back home and write notes that they are supposed to have written in school. And I'm like, what is happening? Is it not the same thing? And funny thing is that what they are studying is not as difficult as what we studied. Because their textbooks are very flat now. Have you seen their textbooks now? They are very flat. I just laugh. Mine were this bulky. Theirs are this. And they don't even tell them go through everything. They just pick out some things and then they will go to school from morning to 4 p.m. Amazing. So that time I would go to school, come back at 2 p.m., wash, do dishes. There was no water supply then where we were living. So you go fetch water, come back to the place. And then by the time you know it, it's time to go for lessons. You go to lesson and then you come back at 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. You need to sleep. But at the same time, you need to do your assignment. So on my bed, on this side, it was Ababio. On this side, it was Modern Biology. So when I'm sleeping, I'm trying to read. My Ababio is by my head. But you know the way we put Bible under children's whatever? That's how I know that thing does not work. Because the Ababio was by my head. It did not enter my head. Amen. When you put the Bible under your pillow, except this divine instruction, say, please put the Bible under your pillow. Get the word of God on the inside of you. Amen. Get it on the inside. So when I keep reading, I sleep, I open the book, my head will tear the page, I'll come back and sellotape it. But that was how I was studying. Okay, and then my mother will come to the room. I'm like, it's amazing. He's studying. But it's because there's something to do. When you have a vision, you need to write it down. So man said, put a Bible and paper by your head. Some of you say, this is new age. You have phone. One morning, my wife woke up and she was signed out of her phone. You understand what you sign out of your phone? So everything that was written on that phone was not accessible. Mrs. Ajeri has two of my phones at the repairer's house. And those phones have very beautiful pictures. But they are still at the repairer's house. How many years now? 1 year. So whatever I've written in that phone is there like that. But that can't happen to your daughter. They say, this man is old school. No, he's not. It's the thing that you can really readily get access to when you need it. How many of the memory cards that you have used do you have now? Some people are very diligent. They will keep it. But how many of them do you have now? But he said, write it. Write the vision. Make it plain so that you can run it. Run with it. Okay? So Mary kept everything in her heart. Hallelujah. And so when they got to the party, she was like, this guy can do anything at all. She saw him in the temple. He said, all that heard him, and they were there because they saw him. All that heard him were astonished at his understanding and the way he answered questions. And so in John chapter 2, he said, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Because she knows who he is. And she knows that he will provide answers to the questions or to the problems that they had. But it was important that she told them, whatever he says to you, do it. Maybe she knew that it was not going to make sense when he spoke to them. Because it doesn't make any sense that they say wine, there's no wine. And all he says is that, do you guys have water pots? I mean, what did he say to them? So that I don't miss it too. Okay. He said to them, so he says, now there were six water pots of stone according to the manner of purification of Jews, containing 20 to 30 gallons apiece. Okay, so Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. Hallelujah. Mary said, whatever he says to you to do, do it. Okay? And I said, maybe because he knew that he was going to tell them to do things that will make sense. Hallelujah. Because God does not deal with us in the natural realm. Amen. He deals with us in the supernatural. So he sees things from his own point of view. Hallelujah. From his own realm. And he expects that his realm will take over. And so, one thing you should note is that if they had not filled the water pot with water, there was no way he would have told them draw from that water pot. So if you look at it again, let me read it. And then they filled them up with the brim, and he said to them, draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. He told them to put water in the water pot. And then when they filled everything to the brim, he did not tell them to taste it. Neither did he tell them to check. He said, draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. Hallelujah. The next instruction God will give you is hinged on the execution of the last. Do you get what I'm saying? The next instruction he's going to give you is based on you executing the last instruction that he gave you. Okay? So if he gives you an instruction and you do not execute that instruction, the next instruction is not going to come. Hallelujah. Because without the water in the water pot, there was no way he would tell them, draw. Hallelujah. And there was no way we tell them, take to the master of the feast. And all these things, in all these things, there was no question from the servants. Hallelujah. When I get down from this pulpit, some people will want to tell me. You know, the generation of children we have, except we keep teaching them that instructions are important, they will miss it when God gives them instruction. It is only this generation that will say, sit. And we ask you, why should I sit? Abi? Say, dodge. You say, why should I dodge? And I keep telling my family that when I give you an instruction, trust it, trust me, and do it. Because I may not be able to give you another instruction after that. And that instruction might be the one that will save you. So if you don't do it, there's no way you will see what I want to do. Say, what if you are wrong? Let me take the responsibility of being wrong. Mary could see them from outside. Jesus, the gathering, and the servants. She could see them from outside. She knew the problem of the gathering. No wine. She knew that Christ was with her. And she knew him even before he was born. She could tell, even if, now Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. The angel said, I am Angel Gabriel. Hallelujah. So she could relate with that. And then when she drifted away, okay, the experiences she had with Christ, the Bible says she kept it to her heart. So she could see very well. And that's what happens oftentimes. And I'm telling you because of what I said about giving my family an instruction. It happens oftentimes because you are the one outside and you are the one seeing them. Hallelujah. And my experience is not their experience. It's not. Whether it's good or it's bad. If you don't wash your uniform on Saturday evening and you wash it Monday morning, I will know. Because I've washed my son's uniform Monday morning before. Hallelujah. And it was my brother that taught me. I told you before, my brother, we won't wash uniform. We won't wash. When it's Monday morning, 3 a.m., we wake up, wash it, then put it behind the fridge. That time, there was still NEPA. If you do it now, it will not get dry. And it was the one that taught me, don't squeeze when you wash. Just wash and bring it out, hang it. You don't have to iron. Hallelujah. He's 4 years older than him. I just look at him and say, we are supposed to wash the uniform at this time. Then we iron it at this time. He said, I forgot. So this is how he manages his life. So once he did it once and twice and it worked for him, it became numb for him. I said, the day this thing will backfire. He said, don't worry. But I'm saying that this generation must learn. And don't bring that, what do they call that thing? Gen Z thing into God's work. Into your walk with God. Mary said, whatever he says to you, do it. If Moses had been arguing with God, why should I throw this staff on the floor? He wouldn't have been able to see that staff would become a snake. And that snake would not swallow Pharaoh's snake. Every single person that will demonstrate God to us did execute all his instructions to the letter. I've said it and I'll say it again, that your next instruction is based or is hinged on the execution of the last one. You want to see miracles? See, if you pray from now till tomorrow, and you do not do the things that he tells you to do, it's not going to be any miracle. Hallelujah. Because in the place of prayer, he gives you instruction. I was just telling them this morning, when we were praying yesterday, we were supposed to pray 7:30 a.m. yesterday, prayer wall, first Saturday of the month. And we were gathered here. And I saw Mr. Sajiri sitting there. Although he had told me on Thursday that I wasn't feeling fine. Okay, but as a man, I expect that I would have gotten up on... See, he told me on Thursday. So as a man, I expect he would have gotten up on Friday morning and move on, like me. You know? So when he came, he sat down there and we were praying. I think we were singing. We started singing. And God said, go to him and lay your hand on him. I felt the unction very strong. I always turn that service to revival service. But there's order and discipline in heaven. So I went to him and I laid my hand on his shoulder. And I stood there for like 1 minute or two and I left him. And I didn't bother to ask him anything because it's not in my place to ask, are you okay? No, it's not in my place. I had done, it's an instruction. And those instructions do not come ordinarily. So I'd done what I was supposed to do until he came this morning and gave us his testimony. Hallelujah. If you want to get to the end of the line, take those instructions. So when you pray, instructions come. And that's why when you pray, see, the boy Jesus was asking them questions and they were answering him. Abi, that's what he was asking them questions. They were answering him. And then they were marveled at his own answers. My business is not going straight. Then we begin to pray that this business will yield 100-fold. And God tells you, move from point A to point B. And you decide and say, no, I have prayed. This business will grow. And you stay in point A. You're not going to change God's mind because of your stubbornness. That's why I say, if you pray from now to tomorrow, because when you pray, the instructions will come. There's nothing. When you pray, the instructions will come. Some people will come, and the church has to be very careful. Because the world out there, they're envious. Okay? And that's why they will always criticize us in church. They are envious. They always criticize you and say, everything about them is prayer. Please prove to them that everything about us is prayer. Because if he gives you an instruction and you don't do it, tomorrow someone will come and say, where is your God? Say, you have been praying. You go to church every time. He doesn't. They will now tell you who God is. You will now become ashamed. That, how can this person know God more than me? But be careful. Because when we pray, we ought to receive instruction. Listen to him as well. So Jesus and the elders in the synagogue on this side, he was asking them questions. They were answering him. And then he also answered them. Instructions is bilateral or bidirectional. Bible says in James chapter 5:16, it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Please give me the Passion Translation. James 5:16. Is it okay? It says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. No, the Passion Translation, TPT. It says, confess even me that was saying TPT. My Bible is on NKJV. They confess and acknowledge how you have offended one another and then pray for one another to be instantly healed. He says, for tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. Hallelujah. Tremendous power. Tremendous. Underline it. Tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. So when you pray, power is released. That's what he's saying. And when power is released, you ought to utilize the power that is released. Amen. It's just like with all these sockets that we have in the house. Okay? When there's power, either you use your gen or from NEPA. Okay? When there's power, if you don't put it on and you don't plug an appliance to it, you cannot know that there's power. So if you don't use it, you will not know that there's power. Hallelujah. But tremendous power is made available, is released when we pray. And the only way you can know that power is released is to follow the instructions. So the things that you ordinarily would do and will not yield results, when power is released, that power will propel and give it and make it productive. Hallelujah. Amen. So in going back to James, John chapter 2. So verse 8, and he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. Hallelujah. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out good wine, and when the guests have drunk, then the inferior, you have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs did Jesus in Canaan and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Amen. His disciples were there when he was giving, when he was, went to this wedding. He went to the wedding with the disciples. Okay? But it was obvious that disciples knew little about what he could do or about who he is. The Bible says here that in verse 11 that this manifested his glory and his disciples believed in him. Hallelujah. Amen. When you are busy moving from one instruction to another, those that will follow him will believe. He will be glorified in them because of your own obedience. Hallelujah. Yesterday we were reading, and I'm sure we all read. It says, be an example. Is it to the believer or of the believer? Oh, yeah, now. I won't say it to. First Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 NKJV. It says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in spirit, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. He did not say be an example of a believer. He says, he was talking to the, all of them. He says, be an example. He was talking to Timothy. He says, be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And I said, there are levels of our understanding in all these things, whether it's in word, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. But he's saying now that you should be an example to the believers. So when the believers see you, they should see that your adherence to instruction is on. You know, there's some people who don't like being in the same class with them. All those over Sabi children. When the teacher says, did you do yesterday's assignment? Page 3, exercise 3, numbers 1, 2, and 3. Say, yes, I did it. I even did 4 and 5. The teacher said, do exercise 3, 1, 2, 3. Then someone said, I did 4 and 5. Please, I need you to explain something to me in 6. I couldn't do 6. We have not done 1, 2, 3. Then teacher will not forget all of you. Say, ha, this one is showing me. No, man, it's okay. What is the 6? Say, I don't like being in class with those people. I like being in class. Say, have you done exercise 3, 1, 2, 3? Sir, we have not finished. That's the kind of class I like being in. It's true. That's the class I like being in. Say, have you done 1, 2, 3? No, we have not finished. It's not that, sir. I even did 4, 5, and 6. And 6 is somehow, it's not following the principle you taught us. Who asked the question? Is 1 to 3? Our syllabus. Is it not the same paper we write at the end of the day. Last, you get A. If you get A1, I will get A. In those days, it's A1, A2, A3. If you get A1, I'll get A3. I won't tell you that I got 3. I won't tell you I got 7 A3s. I'll tell you I got 7 A's. Hallelujah. If I'd gone to school when they were using A, B, that would have been trouble. I said, what did you get? I got 7 A's. 7 A's. I scattered all A's. Hallelujah. So be an example to the believers. So Mr. Sajiri is supposed to be an example to happiness. And happiness is supposed to be an example to the lady behind, and that is how it's supposed to be. And so each person's life is supposed to be an example to the others. It says in faith, in purity, and you cannot be if you are not executing the last instruction that he has given you. When we come to do testimonies, you know, there are some very dangerous testimonies some people give. But when we come to do testimonies, that's what happens. Because the testimony I give is going to support another person and say, this is what God is doing. So all that his mother made him do actually had an effect on his disciples. They believed in him and he was glorified. When we carry out his instructions and we do them to the letter, it's God that we are glorifying. Hallelujah. Some people say it's difficult. Everything is difficult in this life. If you talk to some people, and if you talk to the people, some people, everything is easy. You know? So sometimes when you are struggling, you are still struggling to get 60%. Some people are getting 99% and they are squeezing their face. You say, Oga, what did you get? 99%. How? Then you say, I got 60%. You even ask to compare the notes. I was in class with one very terrible guy. So when you believe that you are the best, it's good to believe you are the best too. There's no problem. When you believe you are the best, no problem. So I was in class with this guy, and he just believed that in all these subjects he was far better. Mommy, I don't have any problem with that one. That's not my problem. So we wrote a test or an exam. And I scored 42 over 50. And me, I'm dancing. And then the guy comes. Say, how did you score 42? How did you score 42? Bring your paper. My own 42, exactly. Now me, I'm like, this one is jollof rice when I get to 42. And then he said, bring your paper, let me see. Because apparently, I didn't know. I got more than him. Just one mark. But because in his mind, I'm better than this boy. So, we are using Foolscap. You know, Foolscap, that higher education. You use it. So opened it. Say, what did you write? Then you open it. You didn't write anything now. Then he said, okay, wait. You know, did you just write the marks by the... So he just started adding. You scored 39. I was wondering, you can't get better than me. So he saw you 39. I looked at it. Say, okay. And because I'm a very good boy, I said, let's go to the teacher. So we went to the teacher. He said, it's very true. We went to the teacher. He said, okay, you didn't add up this thing very well. This guy scored 39. I said, really? So man brought out his red paper, red pen. I was very angry. Very, very. Brought out his pen. Jim. 39. And circled it. And we left. It's 39, so I wasn't even trying to get more than him. I was just trying to be at least very good for the first time, Abby. Do you know what God did? When we left. So at the end of the time, they just sent us our reports, blah, blah, blah. So, but because I've seen all this course, I didn't bother checking. But I just had that prompt, check this physics. And I saw the 42. The man did not remember to change it in the record. When things begin to happen for you, don't go and find out where it's coming from. No, brother. It's God working. when I did jump, when I finished the exam, when my mother came to carry me, I had sickness straight. You're laughing. Once I finished, when my mother came, so that my mother, I don't know. God bless her. When you are going for exam, she will pack rice, pack stew. You cannot tell her that you're hungry. You have your head has to be okay. So when you finish paper one, you come out, you come to the car, you eat. Paper two, I think paper one, you come out, then you have a break. Then two, three, the other ones. So you come out and you eat. So there's no excuse that you are dizzy. That's why you can't see well. Then your siblings will follow you, supporters club, they will follow you. Then this one will be there. When you come out first, number one instruction, mark your answers. When I finished the fourth paper, I came out. I cannot talk. I just knew in my mind that I dare not say anything. I just entered the car. I just formed sickness. So what's wrong with you? I said, I'm not feeling fine. I didn't want her to talk. Once I said, I'm not feeling fine, I knew she would not talk about that paper. But that woman didn't grill. When we enter house like this, yeah, bring the question paper. As she started marking, and she's very, very knowledgeable. She's a chemist. As he was marking, he said, God will help you. This one, you missed this one. That sickness grew the more. But when God will do it, you know, she marked it. When God will do his work, when Jam will send the result, when I got my result, I got, that time, the people that used to get IS, they would get like 250, 280. I got 226. 226. Looked at everybody around me. Me, I was champion. And then when they said the cutoff of the course you want to do, my mark was above the cutoff. Me, that was forming sickness. That's how God works. When we limit him, we will not see his glory. But it is instructions, though. He says, I will go before you. I will lead you in a path that you know not. That's what he says. So when you begin to ask questions, how will God do it? How is it going to happen? You know, it's not for you. He says, pray. Tremendous power is released. But when that power is released, he expects you to make use of that power. And you can't use it except you have his instruction. Hallelujah. You can't use it except you have instruction. When Mr. Sajiri came this morning and said, Pastor came to pray for me, I told him, I did not pray for you. I did not. All he told me was, put your hand on him. I said, well, no, Allah. At least if I'm not saying anything, I just put my hand. He won't hold me tomorrow if he's not feeling fine. He will go and hold God. Abi. But I know that he doesn't fail. You think there's a mountain? There's no mountain. So he told them, she told them, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Hallelujah. Power Convention is coming. And it's titled Living. I wish I was in class with Blessing. I would just be asking her in the exam, Blessing, question one. She will tell me now. You say, what is it again? Living naturally in the supernatural. That's what the title of our convention is. And the only way you can experience it is if you will execute the last instruction, then the next instruction will come. So, fill the water, draw it out, take it. There are instructions. And don't be like that man that took Deborah along. What's his name again? That general. Oh, in the story of Jael, is it Barak that faced Sisera? Barak. When God told him, Deborah said, has he not told you that he will deliver this person? He said, oh no, I will not go except you follow me. Don't add to what God has said. Don't add to his instructions. Keep his instructions as straight. See these servants, they knew him from nowhere. But maybe because they are servants. They just decided, okay, The woman said, whatever he says, do. So we are servants. That's how they are wired. So he said, fill with water. They filled. Draw. They draw. They drew. Take. They took. Until the man drank it before they, it's water we put in it. They themselves did not know that something had happened. You know, oftentimes it's children that always, it's see finish for children and their father. Is it like? See finish, children and their mother. If they want to say sit down, I'm not going to sit down. I don't want to sit down. When the teacher comes, Mr. Thomas, sit down. Don't sit down, JJ, like that. Don't sit down. If it's your mom, you say, sit down. Yeah, I don't want to sit down. Yeah, don't do that with God. There's no see finish with God. I tell you, when I was coming to Lagos, when I went to the set man, all we said, you know, we pray. Say, what do you want? I say, I'll try to be like Solomon. You have to be sharp, Abby. Yeah, you know, Solomon did not ask for anything. So when he said, I'm tired of this work I'm doing here. I need to go. He said, okay, so what do you want? I said, you should just send me to where you prosper me. That's all I said. And then we prayed. And then God sent me to Lagos. I did not ever desire to live in Lagos. The first day my brother and I came to Lagos, we were going to UK Embassy. I was taking him to UK Embassy. We got down at this Ojota. I left him in the bus. I had to run after the bus because the bus did not stop. You know the way we take bus in Ibadan. I came out. You know when he said Ojota, and I came out. And then, where is the boy? The boy. Yeah, I will not go back and be like Joseph's brothers. It's not possible. So that sense, that while I was running up and down, I didn't want to do it. And then when we finished praying, all the offers of job that came from Lagos. I said, God. But I didn't have a choice. It was an instruction. Otherwise, I wouldn't have met all of you beautiful people. I wouldn't. I won't be doing the things I'm doing now. See, when we read Hosea this morning, it says they were losing their strength, but they did not know. So if I had not come here, I would have thought, it's okay where I am. But I will not be in my strength. But you know, it's not difficult to follow instructions. You know why? It is how you perceive the person giving you instructions that determines whether you obey or not. So if Munachi gives me instruction and says, sit down, I will laugh. I will play with him and say, what's up? If said man says, sit down, I will sit down. It's perception. Don't commonize God. Don't be like in our generation, God, you understand, we do this. No, no. This is a generation that don't know the difference between wearing trousers. It's amazing. Let's stand to our feet.